Hey, Steve here with another exciting episode of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And this is episode 78, where I'm talking connecting with kids or building better relationships. You know, last time it was all about connecting with parents. This time it's connecting with the kids in your classroom. Stay tuned. Let's have some fun with this.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here. Today we're talking about connecting with the kids in our classrooms. You know, building better relationships because you know, they buy into you way before they ever buy into your subject. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it is so, so true. They've got to have some connection with you if you really, really want them to take an interest in learning, which means that you got to work at it because it doesn't just happen because you're in the classroom. Yeah, it takes some time. So today, I've got three ways that you can build those better relationships, connect with your kids in your classroom. And so those three ways are, number one, use names. Number two, go beyond the expected. And number three, get involved with school activities. So let's take a look at this. Number one, let's look at use names. This is the best way ever because the kids have to know that you know who they are. Now, that just seems to be a no-brainer, like, duh. But it's not for some people. I'm serious. I mean, you have to use their names. If you have kids in your classroom, are you calling them by their first name? And are you calling them by their first name when they're not in trouble? Yeah, because we all know that there's always one or two kids that their names get heard a lot. Oh, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. Well, they shouldn't just hear their names when it's because they're in trouble. No, they should hear their names when good things are happening. When the good stuff is happening in the class. So you got to take a look at that. Have somebody watch you. Have somebody listen to you. Do you use kids' names when they're not in trouble? So let's talk about that a little bit more detail. Using kids' names. Well, for starters in the classroom, you got to make sure that you learn their names, which means maybe starting off with a seating chart. Not just calling roll, but actually a seating chart where you can see the name going with the face. Maybe use some technique like using craft sticks where you pull their name out of a hat or out of a coffee mug or something like this because their name's written on the stick and that tells you who to call on. That just helps you get used to calling their names. But you've really got to break that cycle of not using names. It's real easy to get into, you know, general sorts of questioning going on in a classroom. Madeline Hunter, education specialist from a long time ago, used to talk about the choral response technique of questioning, which means that you would say something to the whole class like this. So tell me, class, in 1066, what happened? Who knows what happened in 1066? You know, something like that. Well, that's asking for a choral response because a bunch of them are going to respond, or at least one or two are going to respond, and several of the others are going to sit back and hope that you move on. Well, the problem with choral response is that you don't know if kids really got it or not. And the other thing is that you don't know which kids didn't get it, which kids may have gotten it, or which kids were just kind of faking it going through it. So you have to start using their names. Well, that's just one reason, but it's a perfect way to start using their names so that you call on people. And you got to know that most kids really truly understand that teachers tend to call on one of two kids. They tend to call on the kid who's got the right answer, or they tend to call on the kid who, if they don't call on him, is going to get in trouble eventually, if not multiple times. So, one of the things you got to do is you got to start practicing using their names. That's a great way to start, because if I know that you know my name, at least you're starting to connect with me because you took the time to figure it out instead of, you know, hey, you in the yellow shirt. Yeah, that's right, you. Answer the question. Nah, that's not good. Yeah, that actually leads to some very bad stuff, because you have the possibility that in classroom management terms that if a kid knows that you don't know their name, that means you probably wouldn't know if I did something wrong in the classroom, or at least not who to blame it on. You know, it was funny when I was in high school, I had this great English teacher my senior year. Everybody loved her, but she was out for several days during that year because she had some special things going on in her life, and she had to get them taken care of, and we hated it when she was gone. Well, this substitute was there, and it was not the substitute that that this teacher liked to use if she had to be out. Instead, it was somebody different, and one of the kids decided to test that substitute, and he told him that his name was Wolfgang Schmidt. I'll never forget that day. Well, Wolfgang wouldn't stay in his seat, and that's the note that the sub left for the teacher. When she came back, she said, "I just want to know one thing. Who is Wolfgang?" Hey, it wasn't me. You know, if you don't know their names, the kids are going to play games on you, right? Well, as a classroom teacher, you don't have to be a substitute. It'll happen to you also. So you got to start using their names. Now, not just in the classroom, but when you go in the hallways, if you're standing out there in the hallway making sure that everything's safe, that everything works the way it's supposed to, that nobody's doing anything funny, well, instead of just standing there like you're a prison guard or a lump on a log or, you know, a statue of eras gone by, talk to the kids. And not only talk to them, use their names. It'll freak them out. Wow, she knows your name. Did you do something wrong? Anyway, just use their names while you're in the hallway. You know, another great place is in the cafeteria. Whether you're on duty in the cafeteria or whether you're just in there. I mean, some adults choose not to eat in the cafeteria. I got to tell you, it's a great place to eat. Why? Because you get a chance to interact with the kids. And this is a different way of interacting with them because, you know, they're in there socializing. Now, they might roll their eyes a little bit if you come over and join and try and talk with them. They may even try and slide over a few seats. But don't let that deter you. Just keep on talking. Slide over there with them. Move a little closer. Don't let the eye rolling bother you. They'll actually appreciate it eventually because it's cool that the adults want to talk to you. They know your name. Get into chit-chats with you. So if we're talking about using names in the classroom and in the hallways and in the cafeteria, you know, it can really pay off. You know, it's just got to start by using their names. That is a great place to start. All right, so let's go on to number two. If number one is use their names, let's talk about number two. Go beyond the expected. Kids think they know what you get paid for. And as a result of that, it's quite possible that what they'll do is you'll say how much you care and all this stuff, and what they're really thinking is, yeah. You know how many adults have said that before? Yeah. Your actions will speak louder than words. Yeah. You care. Really? You'll be gone. Not too long. You won't spend time with us. You won't do this. You won't do that. Yeah, they're not dumb. So what they think of is they think of, you know, when teachers want to show that they care or that they really are there for them, that they do those things that go beyond the expected. They do those things that you don't get paid to do. So, for example, you know, one of the things would be, hey, go to a youth league rec or a you know, some sort of travel club team or something like this. You know, some of your kids play on these different teams. Well, go to them. Say hi to them. Now, you don't get paid to go do that. And they know it. There's a great way. You know, if you're walking in the mall or at a shopping center and you see them, don't avoid them. Run, go down the other aisle. Say hi. Use their name. One of my favorite examples of this is, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Whitewater in you know, Georgia has Six Flags. The Six Flags has this water park called Whitewater. And there's nothing more exciting than to be with your family during the summertime and you're going down those water slides. And there's several of them that have these giant tubes that the whole family can sit in. And we're coming down the slide and we're all soaking wet and we're in our bathing suits. And at the very end of this slide, We're coming to the end, and I look, and there is one of my students. And I look at my wife, and I say, don't look now, but the young man who's going to help us out of this big raft is one of my students. So I'm getting ready to talk to him. She goes, yeah, I know. So he comes to the raft. Hey, Dr. Bledo, how you doing? I'm like, hey, doing good today, man. And, you know, he's chit-chatting with me. His name was Eric. And Eric says, oh, by the way, I know this might be bad timing, but do you know when the senior portrait pictures are being taken? Talk about a strange scenario to have that question asked of you. I'm in my bathing suit talking to a young man in his bathing suit at the end of a water slide. Something else. But just cool that he wanted to talk to me. I didn't avoid him. I didn't say, oh, gotta go. We chit-chatted for a second. And what was even funnier was I said to him, by the way, you need to forget that you saw me in my bathing suit. And he said, and don't you tell anybody that I work here. The kids don't think I work here. Good stuff. So, you know, part of going beyond is that, you know, you interact with them in places where they're not used to you wanting to interact with them. Whether it's at a water park, whether it's at an amusement park, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's that you've attended a sporting event where you make sure that you go over and you see them, you say, hey, good luck, or wow, that was a great catch you made, or you know, you attend some sort of activity like a 4-H or an FFA event or something like that where they're displaying their chickens or they've shown some new way of growing a peanut plant. You know, there's different things going on. Attend those events and make sure you say hi. Or if you don't see them there, make sure you gather some information about it so you can talk to them about it the next day and tell them how proud you were of it. That type of stuff goes a long way with kids because they're used to adults not having time for them, instead saying they got to go to meetings or I got to do this work or I got to do that work. Well, there's other ways of going beyond. For example, do you play a musical instrument or did you before? And if you, you know, whip that sucker out of the closet, you might be able to get your lip back in shape just a little bit rather quickly. Well, if you did, oh, here's a great way to connect with kids. Go to the band director or your music teacher and say, you know, would you mind if I sat in some of the practice sessions and maybe played on stage during the holiday concert or during the Christmas concert or during the the spring fling, whatever it is that you got going on? Most music teachers are going to love that because they got another instrument in the middle of it, which is awesome. In my case, I played trumpet and I'd sit in with a band. That was a lot of fun. Kids let me be 16 again, and I got to connect with them as they saw me participating with them and playing along with them. A lot of fun. When I became, in high school, marching season, I turned that into something that I did as a principal where I would play in the stands. Lots of fun. How about something else? How about create an after-school soccer program, play soccer or throw baseballs or, you know, just any number of things. How about, you know, a lot of kids like to play kickball. I don't care what age they are. Create an after-school kickball program. I'll bet you have kids come out there and show up. And it doesn't have to be a formalized program. Just simply, it's, Mileto's kickball program. You know, it's Mileto's kickball afternoon. And, you know, if we get it, however many kids we get out there, we're going to put two teams together and we're going to have fun. You'd be surprised how many kids will show up and play just to have fun. You could do a special chess event. I'm not very good at chess, but and I've been in schools where they had chess clubs. But I like playing it, and I lose a lot. Well, back in the 70s, early 70s, that is, I asked my mom for a 3D chess set because I loved the original series Star Trek, right? And at that time, they produced this 3D chess set, and I love it, and I still have it. And what I would do with that thing, when I became an adult and I was a teacher, I brought it to my classroom. And what was really cool is when I ran into a kid who was good at chess, I'd say, play me at this one. And usually I could beat them about two games before they figured out how to do it, but that was a pretty cool thing. That was another way of connecting. You ever seen Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Hey, playing games with kids is cool, and you want to connect with kids. I had a Rock'em Sock'em Robots where I put that in my classroom, and kids would say, what is that? And I go, hey, this was fun before video games, man. And they're like, can I play? And sure. And so you sit there playing, and next thing you know is you got a little crowd wanting to play that game. And now I'm not talking about when the class should be going on, but I am talking, you know, between classes, after class is done at the end of the day. You know, there's different times of doing this. During cafeteria time, you know, bring that sucker out there. I'll bet you have a whole gaggle of them gathering around you wanting to play Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Just lots of fun. One of my favorite things to do with kids was to, in your school, do you have kids that play magic cards or D&D, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, or other role play games, maybe like Pokemon. How about do you have kids that you know, do different activities like that? You know, maybe have the games that have the giant pieces and you know, tanks and starships. Maybe it's a Star Trek or a Star Wars game. No matter what, the idea is they usually need some place to play. Well, how about volunteering your room during lunchtime and just set down some stipulation? Number one, no profanity. Number two, you got to clean up after yourselves. And number three, you got to let me play. Now, they might be afraid of you just a little bit, but you want to talk about connecting with kids, and you don't have to be good at these games. Just ahead of time, you know, in today's world, you've got Google. Go out there and learn a little bit about how to play it so you're not holding them back. But then when they start playing against you, have fun with it. Oh, my goodness, especially if you're doing like a role-play game. I remember I reached out to kids who needed a place to play Dungeons & Dragons. And what I told them was, I said, you can play in my room. I said, I gave them those rules that I just said a second ago. You know, no profanity, no spitting. Have to use a trash can and clean up after yourselves. And you just got to let me play. And they thought that was kind of cool, so they let me play. I had a lot of fun. And, you know, if you never played Dungeons & Dragons, there's all kinds of goofy characters, but just think Lord of the Rings, and that's the type of characters that are there. Well, you usually put together a little team, a little group that travels through the dungeon or on the journey, whatever's going on, and they have things that happen to them along the way. Yeah, well, I like to be unpredictable for the kids. I like to go long ways just to see their reaction. And if you never play these games, there's a dungeon master who rolls the dice because you do something. They tell you what's going on, and then they're rolling dice to decide what happens to you, you know, if anything at all. And usually things happen, any number of things. Well, in one of those games, I created this elf character named Nobody. And they're like, Nobody? Why would you call him Nobody? And I said, just saying his name's Nobody. And, you know, what ends up happening is we start playing, and if you know anything about this game, eventually, you know, elves in D&D are thieves. They're very good at it, and I end up stealing a ring of invisibility, and as I'm stealing this ring of invisibility from whatever character had it, the dungeon master is rolling dice to see if I make any noise, and sure enough, I make noise, and he says, you make this noise over here, and the person in the room wakes up and says, who's there? Now, you see where I'm going with this, right? I say, nobody. And the kids looked at me and said, that's why you called him Nobody, was so that at some point you might have a ring of invisibility, make noise, and you could say, nobody's there? And I said, yeah, cool, huh? You can be as goofy as you want with him. And they start going, oh my gosh, you're a mess. But we like having you play the game. And so they just never knew what I was going to do. It's just a different way of connecting with kids. If you take time like that, you don't get paid to do that. That took away from my lunchtime. That took away from me socializing. That took away from me making phone calls and doing paperwork and stuff. But it was worth it. I had fun. And they had fun. And we connected. Class time made it a lot better because now they knew that I knew who they were. And I knew a little bit about them. I knew a little bit about what they liked. Good stuff. I mean, you gotta go out of your way. Find ways to connect with the kids. So go beyond the expected. So if number one of connecting with kids and building better relationships with them is use their names, and number two is go beyond the expected, well, number three is get involved with school activities. And what I'm talking about here is this is stuff like, you know, sponsor clubs and sports. Every school has something they need sponsored, all right? And there's all kinds of clubs you could sponsor. You know, I talked about chess before. Why not a chess club? You could sponsor an anime club. You could sponsor a group that goes and looks in the woods. And there's any number of things. You'd be surprised how the kids would come up. How about in today's modern world, you could create a coding club or an app club or something like this. I mean, there's any number of things that you could create. And I'll bet the kids would come. You know, just like in Field of Dreams, the idea that you build it and they will come. Well, it's the same thing with that club. And that's how you get to know kids better. Well, not only that, how about coaching a sport? Yeah, you could do that too. That's another way because you spend extra time with them. They get to know you. And you get to know them. Oh, here's another way. How about chaperone trips? You know, that's a cool way, whether you're going to the local bakery, whether you're going to the zoo, whether you're going to Disney World. You know, if you chaperone a trip and really chaperone where you're interacting with the kids, you can't be one of those parents that or those chaperones that wants to go on the trip and they're purely there for their own fun. No. You got to get involved. You can't sit at the front of the bus. You got to sit in the middle of the bus or the back of the bus. You're there to keep them in line, but you're also there to connect with them. And those are great times to do that because they want to know about you too, and they get a chance to learn about you. They also get to see how you dress outside of the school when you're on a trip. That's an excellent way of doing it. How about attending school events? If your school has an honors night, if your school has a parent night, if your school has a theater night, if your school has a performing arts night, whatever it is, an art night, I mean, whatever it is, attend it. You don't have to stay the whole evening. Just go up and interact with some of your kids and say hi and call them by name. They'll love that you're there. You ever have one of those cooking nights where they bring food, the families come? Oh, those are perfect to attend. So in talking about getting involved with the school's activities, sponsoring clubs and sports, attending school events, you could also, create events. I don't know, maybe one of the things that your school's been wanting, they've just been looking for someone to sponsor it, is a school dance. I don't know, there's different ways of doing this. Maybe your school's lacking that spring fling or that fall festival or whatever. Well, if you start it, you could recruit some kids to help you make it happen. And then they go out and recruit other adults. Another great way of getting involved. Another great way of learning their names. Another great way of connecting and building better relationships. The key to this is simply this. In order to get to know kids, you have to interact with them. In order to build relationships with them, better relationships, you have to interact with them. In order to really get to know them, you have to know their names, you have to use their names, and you have to spend time with them. So connecting with kids, building better relationships, number one, use their names, number two, go beyond the expected, and number three, get involved with school activities. Food for thought. Thanks for listening. Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.